see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without. A man without a face. 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 A man without a face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with David James. That's me. I'm me and you're you, and that's the way it should be. Well, I suppose we're going to learn more today. I think that's what we like doing. We like finding out what's going on around us and what's been going on. And that way there it teaches us to decipher things correctly. Imagine this show's been going on for quite some time now. I mean, it just started this year after I left EFR. And it's amazing how many shows have been put out already. So, let's take a look in Maurice Pinet's book called The Plot Against the Church. And when he says the church, he means the Catholic Church, because the Catholics believe that they're the only real church. However, they're incorrect. They're a Babylonian church. We ended up on page 128 last week, and I was talking about love one another. So, we're on page 129 right now. Let's continue. If with this procedure, a Catholic in the United States demands the punishment of Jews because they have supplied atomic secrets to Russia to provide communism with the power for subjection of the world, it is said that this is anti-Jewishism, condemned by the church, and that one must keep silent. If someone pillories the Jews as leaders of communism and of Freemasonry and lays bare their intentions, namely that of destroying the church, then he is likewise condemned as an anti-Jewite. The result of these subtleties and intrigues consists in that the Jews are regarded as untouchable, so that they may commit every kind of crime against Christians, instigate the most destructive crimes against the church and Christian countries, and carry out the most devastating Freemasonic or community revolutions without anyone being able to act, punish, and still less curb their activity, because otherwise he will be accused of anti-Jewishism, and hence incur the condemnation of the Inquisition Court. If the leaders of this serviceable institution, which the Jew-friendly organization Pax Super Israel represented, had taken account of what misuse Jewry and its agents would exercise with the edict which condemned hatred towards people, and hence also against the Jewish people, they would have been filled with horror. Let me just stop there and explain to you something about this. The Jews are guilty of bringing people in our countries and destroying our peace. They're disturbing the peace of our nations. They're killing our people. They're raping our women. They're stealing our resources. They're destroying our property. They're destroying churches. The Jews are guilty of causing this to happen. Now, what he's saying there is that because I just told you what I told you, I am an anti-Jewite. You see, this is ridiculous nonsense. It's ridiculous. In other words, the Jew is trying to make it so that no matter what it does, you can't say anything about it. That it could actually create, you know, let's say create a super virus that kills a billion people and they did it. But if you say that they did it, it's anti-Jewishism. See, that's what they want. They want to make it so that they can do whatever they want, because anything you say against them, whether you mention the word Jew, whether you call them Christ killers, which they really are, or any of these things, you would be known as an anti-Jewite. You see how dangerous this is? Giving one people, especially that people of all people, the ability to make themselves above all other people, and that you could never accuse them. In other words, they are the accusers of the Christian church. They are the accusers of all the peoples of the world. They accuse the white race of being white supremacists when they say they're the supreme race, etc., etc., etc. So they are actually, they want to make themselves above all people. They already believe that anyway. But they want to make it so that it's instituted in law, so that if anyone criticizes them or mentions them in any contrary way other than what they wished it to be, then you're instantly against Jews. You're an anti-Jewite. It was the same when Obama was in office. If you didn't agree with what Obama did, then you hated Negroes. This is the same technique. It's a bunch of crapola, and you cannot allow this to happen, ladies and gentlemen. You can't allow these Jews to get away with this. This is ridiculous nonsense. It really is. So it continues here. If one wishes to see still clearer the lies spun by Jewry in this connection, it suffices to take a very evident example, which allows the hatefulness of this truly dialectic sophistry to be discerned, which the Hebrews, they're not Hebrews, the Jews, I'm going to say, and their accomplices pretend with the word anti-Jewishism. What would the Jews have said if proceeding from the basis of the church condemns hatred between the peoples? One had come to the conviction during the last war that this universal condemnation also includes hatreds towards the German people, which analogously was called anti-Germanism. So as accordingly to declare every struggle against the Nazis as impermissible, for the latter were Germans, and to fight them is a manifestation of anti-Germanism, which was also fundamentally condemned by the church court. That's a question. Would the Jews have accepted such a mode of thought, which under protection of such playing with words allowed Nazi Germany to be declared untouchable? With such a rational conclusion, the Jews, like their forefather Caiaphas, would have rent their clothes and have protested against the criminal playing with words, which does not prevent the Jews from utilizing the same with all calm and cynicism in order to prevent Christians from being able to defend themselves. You know, I hear people that claim they're in the truth movement, and they always like to say something about the Germans, the Nazis. which proves that they don't have the truth. They don't understand the truth. And they always like to throw that in. I notice it's one of the modus operandi of these so-called truthers. Like whenever they're going to talk about evil, they would compare it to Nazi Germany, that, you know, this good is compared to the evil of Nazi Germany. They don't compare it to the evil of the Jews, which I think is very interesting, don't you? In reference to condemning the condemning of racial discrimination, something similar occurs. First of all, the Jews and their accomplices with the clergy give a restrictive meaning to the word racial discrimination. That's a term. I don't think that's a word. It's a term. By equating it with the demand of one specific race to regard the other races as inferior and to rob them of their natural rights, or by equating it with an anti-Jewistic racial discrimination, which is blasphemous, in a blasphemous manner, draws Jesus Christ, the most holy virgin, Jesus Christ, his mother, or the apostles into their critique. So as with such impressive arguments to obtain a completely universal condemnation of racial discrimination, which then allows them as fighters against racial discrimination to accuse all those who fight for protection of the church or their nations against the Jewish onslaught in order to obtain their condemnation. In addition, we must bring to mind that a condemnation of racial discrimination is very dangerous for the church itself, for there exist orders of Paul IV and other popes that forbid admittance to honorary offices of the church to Catholics of Jewish origin, or which confirm this ban. We will study. Let me just say something here. I have to comment on this. And Comparé has a teaching called Christianity Discriminates, because it's supposed to discriminate. It's very interesting, this equality thing is wrapped up in this racial discrimination nonsense as well, which goes into being racist and everything else. It's very interesting how this word game, these wordsmiths, these Jews that have nothing better to do all day and all night but think up new ways to twist things around and make it so that we cannot defend ourselves, make it so that we cannot cull the garden, make it so that they're in charge of running the world instead of us, which has brought nothing but evil to the world. The Jews aren't capable of running the world. They never have been. They never will be. They're a sub-race. They're not a race. They're mixed with mostly sub-races, and they mix with whites as well, in order to take advantage over the indigenous people of a country. So they're of the sub-race caliber, let's put it that way. They're not a sub-race, but they're mixed with the sub-races, and they've mixed with whites, which means they're abominations, which puts them in the sub-race category. You know what I'm saying? Even though they're not a race. This is very interesting stuff here. And very dangerous. These words are very dangerous. But the Bible does discriminate. The Father does discriminate. Yes, he does. And we are supposed to too. But the Jew is juxtaposed to the Father's will. We want to, I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that you love the Father and you care about him, and that you regard his will as superior to yours, and that your will would come in line with his will rather than trying to get his will to come in line with yours. For we know nothing compared to the Father. His will is more important because he knows what should be. I trust the Father's will. Do you? And my will, like I said, I'll give you an example. And I know this sounds funny, and I've said it before. But it is his will that the wheat will live with the tares. Even though he told us to be an unholy people and separate, we're not supposed to, be in concourse with them, but they will be part of our nations. They were allowed to come out of Egypt with us, etc., etc. They followed us everywhere we've gone because they're part of the test. Once the test is over, there will be no more need for the tares. There'll be no more need for devils. There'll be no more need for his offspring. There'll be no more need for the sun. There'll be no more need for the death. There'll be no more need for nighttime. So my will, before I realized what the Father's will is in this whole thing, was I want these Jews out of my nation. And even though I still want them out of my nation, I have to come in, I have to submit my will to the Father's will. I want to, not have to, but I want to, I should say. Because I know his will is more important than my will, and that his will, there's a reason for it, a good, very good reason. So, I would have loved to pluck up the tares and get rid of them so we could enjoy our lives. But that's not the purpose of why we're in this world at this point. This is for us to be overcomers, to pass the test, to run the race, as the Apostle Paul puts it. It's not here to sit back and relax and enjoy, live off the fat of the land necessarily. You're here to be tested. The Father wants gold tried by fire. And so, I do want the Jews out of our country, but the Father's will is the Father's will, and so there I will submit to it. Believe me, I want them out of the country, but I want the Father's will to be done. Because after all, it's his test. He's the one that decides who passes the test or fails. So, we're on chapter 6 right now here, and it's called Christ, the symbol of anti-Jewishism, so the Jews assert. So that the well-meaning clergy can form an idea of how dangerous this affair of anti-Jewishism is, they must know that the Jews at different periods have regarded Jesus Christ, the apostles, various popes, the councils, and saints of the church as hostile to the Jews. It is natural that they have done this, for they regard everything as hostile to the Jews that blames or combats their crimes or their conspiracies against mankind. And both Jesus Christ, as well as the apostles and the other mentioned authorities, censured and fought on different occasions against the blackmail of the Jews. The newer part of the Testament of the Holy Scripture, the church laws of the councils, I don't agree with that. The bulls and papal dispatch, I have nothing to do with that. They prove that the Jews had made confessions themselves. So we may not have the slightest doubt of testimonies which are recorded. We translate with special care what the outstanding Zionist writer Joseph Dunner writes in his book, The Republic of Israel, in which he asserts the following. For every sect believing in Christ, Jesus is the symbol of everything that is healthy and worthy of love. For the Jews, he is from the 4th century onward the symbol of anti-Jewishism, of slander, of violence, and of violent death. If the Jews regard Jesus Christ as a symbol of anti-Jewishism, or better expressed, anti-Judaism, then they are completely right. For if they described as anti-Jewites those who blame and combat their disgraceful deeds, then our divine Redeemer was the first who did this. When Jesus Christ had a discussion with certain Jews, he began the following dialogue as the Gospel of John relates. Chapter 8, verse 39. Then he answered unto them and said unto them, Abraham is our father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of Yahweh. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. And then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even Yahweh. Well, it says God, right? They didn't want Yahweh there, that's for sure. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. You see, he's saying that his father, just get a grip of this, right? I know you've heard this before. I've done a special teaching on this. But listen carefully. They're liars. They're lying to the father who let Cain walk away so that they could destroy him in this time when he was here. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. Oh, yes, you were. You were born of race mixing. An angel had sex with Eve, and Cain was the half-breed that was born. He was Abel's half-brother, not his whole brother, not his fully pure racial brother. And then he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do, for he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. Who is that? That's Cain. Cain is the one that lied to the father's face. Cain is the one that is the murderer from the beginning, correct? And then in verse 47, of course, he says to them, he that is of Yahweh hears Yahweh's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of Yahweh. And just understand that that means ye are not my sheep. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. And this passage of the gospel ended with the following verses. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Listen carefully. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him. See, when he told them the truth, they wanted to kill him. And he had just said this earlier in this chapter. I am a man that told you the truth, and you seek to kill me for it. He knew that before they picked up the stones. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You know why? Because it wasn't the time yet. In the preceding passage of the Gospel of John, one sees how Christ upbraids the Jews for their murderous intentions and calls them children of the devil. He likewise proves that the Jews of that time were unable to carry on discussions, just like today, ladies and gentlemen, just like today. He likewise proves that the Jews of that time were unable to carry on discussions in a calm and honorable form, and it says exactly as today, without bringing in insults, slanders, or violent actions, always according to its suiting them. See? And if with our divine Redeemer they used lies and insults and attempted to dishonor him, let me just stop right there. What do you think they would do with us? And are doing with us? I've been called the devil too. When I was at EFR, I was doing all this work for the Father there and this and that, and I was all right then. But as soon as I looked a little deeper into what the situation was and found out some things that were very contrary, then I was the devil when I told the truth. When I told the truth about people not defending the truth, I was accused of being, what's the word, divisional, trying to divide people. You understand? It's okay, you know, and they'll have this thing, you know, from Voltaire saying, to find out who rules over you, you must find out who you cannot criticize. Well, when I was in that situation, when I criticized, I found out who I was not being able to criticize, wasn't I? Because they felt they ruled over me. But they didn't, and they still don't. So, it continues. He himself gives evidence in verse 49, or strove to end the discussion with stone throwing. What could we poor human creatures then expect? In chapter 23 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus Christ, in reference to the Jewish leaders who opposed him so much, describes the latter as hypocrites, full of iniquity, foolish and blind, clean outside, but within full of extortion and excess, whited sepulchres which indeed impair a beautiful outwards, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness, children of them which killed the prophets. The said chapter of the Holy Gospels ends with this express complaint of Jesus Christ against the Jews, who denied their Messiah and resist. He's not their Messiah, Mr. Catholic. Listen to the number of the verse. 3 times 3 is 9, the number of the devil. Verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? They can't. And there will be no need for them when the kingdom comes. There'll be no need of any Jews because the test will be over by then. And those that have passed the test will have passed the test. And those that have failed the test will have failed the test. And the judgment will ensue. And hell, the devil and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Correct? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood. Now this is verse 36, again, 3 and 6 is 9. That upon you may come all the righteous bloodshed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Better than any other, Christ reveals to us here the murderous and cruel instincts of the Jews. This is understandable because in the revelation which he made to his favorite disciple, in which the latter has written down in the Apocalypse. He called the Jews who denied their Messiah the synagogue of Satan. An equally appropriate as well as divine description, which in the ensuing centuries was often used by the Catholic Church as the description for the criminal and conspiratorial Jewry, which since its murder of the Son of God, murder of Jesus Christ, has not ceased to commit every kind of crime against Yahweh and mankind. In the present book, we used on our side this expression, synagogue of Satan, in order to frequently identify modern Jewry. For one would with difficulty find a more fitting appellation than this, which was already thought of by Christ. Only with difficulty will one find among the leaders who have combated Jewry in the Christian era someone who has used such hard words against the Jews as Jesus Christ himself. It is therefore not to be wondered at that the Jewish writer Joseph Dunner, in his work mentioned, gives the assurance that the Jews regard Christ as the symbol of anti-Jewishism, all the more as many Christians and non-Jews have been accused of anti-Jewishism on account of far milder attacks. It is therefore dangerous that good-willed Christian clergy allow themselves to be torn away by those who are not. Dangerous again for them to let loose general and unclear condemnations of anti-Jewishism, which exposes them to the danger of condemning even Christ, our Redeemer, his apostles, the saints and popes, described by the synagogue of Satan as anti-Jewites. Because the Jews afterwards attempt to use such condemnations as a new carte blanche that justifies them in furthering every kind of crime, offense, and conspiracy against mankind, and secures freedom from punishment for themselves, so that the former cannot even effectively defend themselves against them. It is necessary to keep, therefore, our eyes that in every land or every institution in which Jewry gains sufficient influence, be it through its open activity or its secret manner through its fifth column, quote-unquote, fifth column, the five-point plan. It seeks, first of all, to attain the condemnation of anti-Jewishism, which on occasions prevents every attempt at defense. When they have been successful by means of their cheating in creating such a situation contrary to order, then any kind of conspiracy, any kind of treachery, any kind of crime or offense can only be punished if it was committed by a Christian or non-Jew, but not if committed by one or more Jews. And should anyone wish to lay punishment upon those responsible, one will at once hear the outcry of the press, of the radio, and of the letters that are artificially organized in the form of angry protests against the beginnings of anti-Jewishism, which has appeared like a hated plaque, or plague, excuse me. You see, I have explained this to you, that they're deliberately doing anti-Jewishism in all the governments of the world, because the governments are right in your face at all times, right? So what better of a place to showcase such a thing? And therefore, these are the lawmakers, so then they've already bought and sold all these people, so they can shame them and put another guilt trip on them, and then get them to pass laws that will outlaw anti-Jewishism. You see? This is what it's all. This is another, I tell you, you must go listen to the Fireside Chat number 60, because this is another Jewish revolution. Anti-Jewishism is another Jewish revolution. Make no mistake. So it continues. You know, this is very interesting. I hope that you're putting it all together as I'm giving it to you. I hope you're really connecting the dots, because if any show is ever going to connect the dots, it's Fireside Chat number 60, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, many of those Fireside Chats connect dots. This one really hit home, and it's just an outline of things to come as I go into the details of those, this very outline of that show. So this continues here. This in every respect, unjust, unbelievable, and insane, for the Jews have not the right to demand a special privilege that allows them to commit crimes unpunished, to betray peoples who want to grant refuge to them, and to instigate conspiracies and unrest in order to secure domination over the others. Without discrimination of race or religion, every person or organization that is responsible for the committing of this kind of crime, it's not a crime at all, must receive the deserved punishment. It's a crime that the Jews have deemed a crime, but it's not a crime at all. They just said it is. This truth cannot be more open or simpler, and if the Jews do not wish to believe it, the latter is nevertheless fully and completely in force for them also. It very frequently occurs that the Jews, apart from the fact that they use the condemnation of anti-Jewishism in the form already elaborated, also use another kind of cunning for the same purpose. The malice is found upon the sophistry that is spun by the Jews themselves and is supported by Catholic and Protestant clergy who can consciously and unconsciously work together with them and solemnly assert in dogmatic form that it is illegal to fight against the Jews because they are the people which gave its blood to Jesus. Oh, that is such a... Fables, ladies and gentlemen. I like the word sophistry, and I kind of understand what it is, but I'd really like to get a closer look at what sophistry is. Sophistry. Listen to this. The use of fallacious arguments, especially with the intention of deceiving. Trying to argue that I had benefited in any way from the disaster was pure sophistry. A fallacious argument. Let's see if we can see what else we can see here. Not there. Okay, let me go to another one. Well, I don't see it. Okay, sophistry is tricking someone by making a seemingly clever argument, such as telling your mom you must have candy before dinner because if you don't, you'll die, and then the protein and vitamins won't get eaten at all. Ladies and gentlemen, sophistry. Very interesting. I believe it's very much akin to hypocrisy. Sophistry synonyms. Let me see. Don't we have some synonyms to this? Yeah. Geez, I really don't see a lot of that. Well, anyway, we found out what sophistry is. Such clumsy quibbling is very easy to refute. One needs only to quote the passage from the Gospels where Christ, our Redeemer, after he calls the Jews who fight against him once again a generation of vipers, quote unquote, clearly and distinctly rejects the consequence of blood relationship and recognizes only the spiritual. In fact, one reads this passage in the following, Matthew 12, verse 47. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my mother and sister and brother. In spite of the fact that Jesus on his mother's side was blood related with the ancient Israelite people of the biblical times, it is evident that for the future he only recognized the spiritual relations. That's crapola. Crapola! Sorry, when I hear crap, I have to call it what it is. Okay, I'm going to move forward here. Because when the crap starts, it just deicide. Now there's an interesting term. It says here, the gospel itself, John 8 verse 44, said that the Jews are the children of the devil. The servants of the church constantly stress that the Satanism of the Jews and called them disciples and allies of the devil. That's exactly what they are. They're the children of, they're the offspring of the devil. The constant ecclesiastical accusation of deicide and of their thirst for Christian blood, their symbolic scourging of the crucifix, their lack of reason and their evil instincts produced a too frightening picture for it not to exert the deepest effects upon the human masses. Although the church attempted, by the means of papal edicts and encyclicals, to contain the popular hatred, which itself had produced the anti-Jewish mentality of the time, took effect in the excesses of the mob, in bloodbaths among the Jews, in expulsions and compulsory conversions. Yes, that's something it talked about last week. You see, it was very foolish to think that the Jew couldn't be converted or be made into an offspring of the Father. You see, it just can't be, because light has no fellowship with darkness. And so you can't just tell evil, you know, like that would be like saying, well, we're going to graft the tree of knowledge of good and evil onto the tree of life. Because what would happen if you did such a thing? I've never thought of such a thing before, but that's how ridiculous it is. If you grafted on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and put that onto the tree of life, what do you think would happen? Or potentially, what do you think would happen? It would proceed to try to kill the tree of life. Now, of course, the tree of life would take care of the business, and this would never happen in the first place. But what I'm saying is it would attempt to kill the tree of life. And that's exactly what you do when you make the Jew a friend of your nation. When you convert the Jew to your religion by force, it will do things on the outside, but not on the inside. So it might take a new Christian name on, and it might act like and say Christian things, but in the background, it's still involved in its evil. It's involved in the criminal cartel known as Judaism, which is in the guise of a religion, for the purposes of the advantages of being under the guise of a religion. Judaism is vile. It's anti-Christ. I can't say enough about what it is. It's pagan. It's downright sick. Ursula Haverbeck, the woman who's 88 that they put in prison in Germany because she doesn't believe in the Holocaust narrative, she said she read some of the books of the Talmud and it made her literally sick. Now, if Christianity spawned out of Talmudism, why would it make her sick? The Bible doesn't make you sick, does it? Just think of what I'm telling you. That's some serious business, what I'm telling you right there. So, it continues. And after the Jewish encyclopedists have quoted the Jew-hostile laws of certain Christian rulers, in which some were apparently inspired by various church fathers like Ambrose and Chrysostom, how do you say that? Chrysostom, never heard of him before. They concluded with the assertion. However, the most hostile legislation came from the side of the church itself, from its councils, from papal agreements, and from canon law, whose severity constantly increased from the 4th to the 16th century. Well, there is supposed to be no canon law. The Father gave us the laws, so we don't need laws of men. One of the most recent revelations of Jewish literature that supports the thesis that the church had been unjust towards the Jews are the books of Jules Isaac, Jesus et Israel, and recently published L'Enseignement du Mépris, which was praised by the writer and politician Charles Beau. The lasting pressure of those who serve the interests of Jewry. You see, the Jew. Let me just explain something to you. The Jews have got into Spain recently, and now Portugal, and now it's just about over with. And they made them feel guilty about them throwing them out in 1492. And now they've let a certain amount of them come in and be citizens, equal citizens in their country. What do you think the Jews are going to do inside that country? Let me ask you that quick question. I mean, it's just amazing that they would even allow this. These people still haven't learned. What do you think is going to happen in Portugal and Spain now? Anywhere you let the Jews in to be friends, to be part of your family, so to speak, if you married into them even, which is even worse, or if you let them be part of your religion, let's say, what good will come out of that? Will any good come out of that at all? Have the Jews ever done anything good for any peoples of the world but themselves? Except you could say, yes, for the Negroes, and for the Muslims. No, they haven't done good for them. They're going to be judged for these things. These Muslims that have come into our countries and have raped us now and done all these evils that they've done, the Jews helped them do that. So if you call that helping somebody, what they've done is help them to damn themselves when judgment comes. Because as I've said, this particular surrounding of the woman by the floods that came out of the devil's mouth, these seed of the dragon that have come all around us, they've been given a chance to either bless the woman or curse the woman. They've made the choice to curse the woman. And therefore, judgment starts off in the house of Yahweh. But make no mistake, the Jews have not helped those people. They've made sure that those people are condemned. Because the Jews hate all peoples of the earth. They might use them as weapons to hurt their main enemies, but they are definitely causing not only our people to disobey the Father, but they're causing the beasts of the field, the sub-races, to do things that they wouldn't have done otherwise, which is going to bring judgment down upon them. Make no mistake. So the answer is the Jews have done no good to any people whatsoever. They, like the Negro and like the hybrid, is a curse on any nation. I just want you to understand that. It's amazing that this book came out in the 1962 to 1965 area, and you could swear it was written today, right? Isn't it amazing? So this is chapter 7, the deicide people. Let us recall that an association under the name of Friends of Israel, to which even cardinals and bishops belonged, was dissolved by His Holiness Pope Pius, His Holiness, Pope Pius the 11th. by means of the Sacred Congregation of the Holy Office in the year 1928, and that among the assertions condemned assertions which the said association spread was that the Jewish people were not the murderers of God, which contradicts what the church has maintained for nearly 20 centuries. Condemned by the church, this association was dissolved through the edict mentioned. No one imagined that its adventures would be re-enlivened until it was established, to great astonishment that after more than 30 years, the Jews had founded the same association again, and it was supported by numerous group of clergy, who nevertheless defiantly contradict the condemnation expressed by the Holy Office and assert that it is completely false that Jesus Christ was killed by the Jews, and that those really responsible for the murder were Romans. Consequently, it is just unjustifiable to describe the Jewish people as murderers of God. But nevertheless, they are the Christ killers. They can try to do anything they want, but we know what they are. They've always been the Christ killers. They are the Christ killers of today. They will kill our people. They're trying to kill Christianity. They're trying to kick the Father out of our nations and his laws out of our nations. They're trying to get us to race mix and go against everything the Father's will is. This is important, ladies and gentlemen, that you decide that your will come in line with the Father's will by your own choice, not by any force, by any edict, by any law, but that because you want to do the Father's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the Father's will is already done in heaven, but the Jew is doing everything he can to make sure that the Father's will is not done on earth. You do see that, right? You see that when I read the Ten Commandments and said, is the world promoting the breaking of all of these Ten Commandments? And the answer is yes to every single one of them. The world promotes the breaking of the Father's laws. The world promotes to be against the will of the Father. Yes, the will of the Father is done in heaven, but the Jews do not want the will of the Father to be done on earth. It's up to us as the Father's offspring and as the Israelite nations, the true Israel, the white, Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples of the world, to make sure that the heavenly realm is the same as the earthly realm, that his will is done on the earthly realm. That is our responsibility, to see that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I hope I've made that very clear to you. And therefore, may your will come in alignment, or I should say all of our will, come in line alignment with the Father's will, willingly, not by force, willingly. So they can say the Romans killed Jesus Christ, but it's not true. We know who killed him. We know who called for the killing of Jesus Christ. And we know that they let a piece of garbage go. See, they were even given a chance to get out of it, and they chose the piece of garbage, Barabbas, to let him go. Right? We know who are the Christ killers. It's the Jews, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what they say, no matter who they pay to say something different, you see, these clergy that have come in league with these Jews and have put their will to go with the devil's will and his children's will, and have rebuked and left the Father's will, they will pay dearly for this. I don't understand it any more than you do, ladies and gentlemen, why the whole world sells out to the all-time loser. The devil is a loser. His children are losers. The Jews are losers. You say, oh, no, they're the richest people. That doesn't mean you're not a loser. They've cheated to do all the stuff that they've done. That's not a justifiable winner. The father is the all-time winner. The devil and his children are the all-time losers. You can be assured of that. I promise you that. Why these people in the world? Well, I understand why people in the Catholic Church, because it's a Babylonian institution. I mean, look at all they've done to destroy Christianity. Touched little children, worshiped statues, leave Christ hanging on the cross, bow down to golden statues, which the monstrance is, and it's just Lucifer in guise. Say that Lucifer is the god of the church, etc., etc. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. Of course they would bend their will to the devil's will. Will you? Or will you serve the Father himself? And will you align your will with his will? This is totally up to you. But you know what I recommend. Why would you want to go with the all-time loser? People like winners, don't they? Even the world, as evil as it is, they love winners, don't they? The devil's not a winner. And if you make a deal with the devil and his children, you turn out to be the loser. Make no mistake about it. I get a little passionate at the end of these messages because I just don't understand people. All right, we've hit that point. But we're in chapter 7, the deicide people. I always give a little bit of good advice at the end of the show as well, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
Just do the best as you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lies that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face.